Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come to worship today together as the body of Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Empower the gifts in this congregation. Dear Lord, let these words that I speak now be ones that honor you and are from you and not me. Thank you for your holy scriptures, for your holy gospels, the word, which is the sword of the Spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, Jeremiah's ministry as a prophet had two watershed events that occurred during it. One was the transfer of power from Assyria to Babylon, who both were controlling Israel during Jeremiah's ministry. And the second was the destruction of the temple in 586 BC, an event that would have a long reach in the history of Israel. And so, out of those two events, as you can probably guess, Jeremiah isn't always the most cheery of books, because Israel is in mourning. The reason that these two things have happened, God says, is because Israel has gone after other gods and idols instead of pursuing the true God, the Father Almighty, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so with that context, we go to this verse today from our first reading, Jeremiah 15, 18. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. And this is 19. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. And so we've talked before about having our loves properly ordered. And this is what had happened for Israel. They had their loves improperly, if that's a word, ordered. Not in the right order. They had gone after other things, whether it was foreign gods, trusting in themselves, or whatever it might be, whatever sin you want to put in the blank that separates us from God, that puts our love of something before God. That's what was going on here with Israel, and that's why these events happen. You know, St. Augustine famously struggled with the sin of lust. That was his sin, and that was something he felt he was powerless to break from. And the Lord did it for him and broke that, and he was freed from it. But it doesn't have to be lust. It just could be anything. Anything that we put before God makes our loves be out of order. So the two greatest commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But that first one is there for a reason. It orders our love. Check this out in Psalm 39, verse 11. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. And so whenever we do have an idol in our lives, and unfortunately, the idols that we form aren't made out of like things that we can see usually, right? They're not wood or stone, or we're not falling for melting down our gold and building a calf, right? That's not getting us today. Our idols are trickier. They're hard to see, right? Well, they're hard to even know we have them. But they nevertheless steal our heart in the same way. And so this verse, I think, is really cool because it says the Lord sends his moth to consume it. And, you know, unless you're Finn or Maggie, none of us are excited about moths coming into our lives, right? To consume the things that we love. Or that might be an idol for us, things that have stolen our heart. That's not a fun process to go through that. But I want you to see it today. I want you to see the Lord's moths that come to consume your idols and my idols. To see that as the grace of a Father, a grace of a Father who loves us enough to discipline us. Right? And so in Proverbs 3:11, Solomon says it much better than I can. This is verse 11 and 12. My son or daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son or daughter he delights in. So even discipline, even the moths in our lives from God come out of a motivation of his love for us. The Lord wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is to order our loves properly, to put him in that first spot, to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength and all of our soul. Hebrews 11 talks about people who had faith, and one of them is Moses, of course. You remember Moses. All the Hebrew babies, boys were being killed. His mom comes up with a really ingenious plan. Let's set him in the reeds floating on the water near where the Pharaoh's daughter bathes. And in hopes that she would pick him up and he would be raised in Pharaoh's house and therefore protected from death. And then at just the right moment, Miriam, who has been watching the little boat float, jumps up and says, "Hey, I know a Hebrew woman who could nurse," right? And then Miriam goes and gets Jochebed, Moses' mom, and she comes to be the wet nurse for Moses in and out of Pharaoh's house. She gets to see her baby. The baby's protected. It's an ingenious plan. All of that to say that Moses grows up in power and in privilege. And if any of the movies that we've seen, like the Ten Commandments or Disney's Prince of Egypt, are true, he was even more well-liked and favored than Ramses, his stepbrother, I guess. And he could have stayed there, right? He could have stayed there in power and in privilege and in comfort. But the Lord sent a little moth, right? And that little moth had him one day witness a Hebrew being beaten. And he comes to his defense. And he stands with his people instead of the Egyptian official that is supposed to be, you know, in his family. And so he runs away. He flees to Midian because he's worried about what the Pharaoh is going to think, that this Egyptian official is dead. And why did he do that? How could he explain that? I think Moses' running away was this moth. It gets him out of the power and privilege and comfort of the palace, so that one day God can call him back to come and deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. He had to get Moses' loves ordered correctly. And there was some running away and there was some doubt. "I can't do this, Lord," and all that. You remember that? But nevertheless, the Lord kept after him and pursued him. I want you to see the moths in our lives, not as a negative, but as the Lord pursuing us, loving us enough to discipline us. And I also want to proclaim today that the Lord gives us more than moths to have our loves and our hearts be in the right place. He gives us the armor of God. That's what the kids have been learning about. And this really spoke to me this week in connection with this sermon as I was preparing. This is Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. You know, sometimes the goal is just to be standing at the end, whatever it is that you're going through, right? Sometimes the goal is just to be standing, no more than that, to survive. And not only be survived laying down or limping into the finish, but to be standing. And I want you to note today something else. We're going to go right back there again for Ephesians 6:11-12. Check out who our battle is against. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so this armor that God gives us is to protect us from the schemes of the devil, who wants to constantly disorder our loves, get the order of our loves out of sync. That's his goal. He does it quietly and subtly. But this armor, Paul says, protects us. And the first one is the shield of faith. So I went around with my little guy, Finn's little guy, right, and showed you that shield of faith. And that shield is really close to what the Roman soldier's shield would have looked like. They were about 3 feet in length. So they really covered a good portion of the body like that. You saw that shield, it was really long and thin, right? And it covered a good portion of the body. And what they would do in battle is that they would be... There's different formations they had, but one was called a phalanx. And it was like 5 in front and 5 deep. And if you had 5 soldiers with this shield, you could get down like this, put it in front of you, with your fellow soldier just to your right, and him to his right, etc. And you can have a complete wall of protection with that 3-foot shield as you kneel down in front of it. And then also, if they were shooting flaming arrows, right, that might come on top of you, you could have some of those behind the front row put it up like this and create a roof of protection so that when those fiery arrows came down on you, they would be protected from the air. And then finally, they were soaked in water so that they would help put out the flame of the arrows that were lit. And so in Romans 6:16, listen to this. Paul thought a lot about, knew a lot about these shields. He said, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, so then knowing that, what is it about faith that is our protection from the flaming darts or arrows of the evil? What is it about faith that helps us here? You know, the devil, one of the way the devil works in his schemes is to try to twist the truth. I've said this before, but we can justify a lot of things when it's just in here. If we actually put words to it and we say it to our brother or sister, it's completely ridiculous. And they're like, no, don't do that. Right? But in here, it can all make sense. And so... We need to cling to the faith. We need to cling to what is true. And our brothers and sisters help us to remember and know what is true. They help us to say, no. That's why you should get counsel, right, when you have a big decision. No, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. You know, they can see through that better than us that's being tempted, that's being, you know, shot with those arrows. We're not thinking clearly a lot of times. They help us hold on to what they know is true, which is the faith of Jesus Christ. And so there's one more thing that complements. We didn't talk much about this, the belt of truth. That was another one of the piece of armor. And I think it's a nice complement to the shield of faith, because our brothers and sisters who speak truth to us, you know, that's a protection. When they say, no, that's, don't do that. Do this instead. That is speaking truth into our lives, and that's armor to protect us against the devil, who again is trying to twist that truth, to get us to justify different things. And we can justify a lot in our minds. Another bit of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. You probably didn't notice this as much, but that little guy was wearing a breastplate of armor. And there, on these breastplates, there was no armor on the back. So this was open. It was just the front that was protected by the armor. And so if you split up from your legion and you ran away, retreating, you would be much more likely to be shot in the back and exposed to death than if you stood with your fellow soldiers with the breastplate in front. You would be better protected that way. So again, I think this is a great image to say, when we go it alone, right? When we try to do things alone, when we don't seek counsel, when we don't seek our brothers and sisters in Christ, then things end up going wrong. You know, one time I was at, I was pastoring a church, and I developed a friendship with a woman in the church, and it was making the husband jealous. We didn't have any sort of relationship, physical relationship or anything like that, but it was a deep friendship, but it was making the husband jealous. And I called my friend, brother from seminary, Rhymes, and I said, Rhymes, I explained the story. This is what, you know, and he said, listen, if that's making the husband jealous, then you need to stop being, you know, I couldn't see that. And I needed the brother to be able to tell me that. And that helped me to understand, hey, I need to devote my time in other places and for other endeavors and purposes, not pursuing this friendship with a woman and make the husband jealous, right? Even if the friendship isn't, you know, physical or something like that. And so I stand with your brothers and sisters, and that armor will help you deflect the flaming darts of the enemy. Who knows if something would have eventually developed and I would have been tempted in that way and fallen. So in that way. So the Lord used my brother to help defend those darts. Righteousness comes from outside ourselves. We know that as good Lutherans, right? It doesn't come from us. We're not righteous. So what's the breastplate of righteousness? What's happening with that? It comes from God in Jesus Christ. So the more humble we can be about our need for Christ and for His grace in all areas of our life, the more also we'll be protected by God's armor of righteousness and from the darts of the enemy. You know, the enemy loves to convince us that we're the ones doing this. We're the ones that have done this, right? We're the ones that have made this great thing succeed. when in fact it has been God at work in our lives, whether it's equipping us with gifts that allowed us to be good at this, or whether it's seeing to all glory comes back or should come back to Him. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Of all the things, armor-wise, that the Lord gives us, He only gives us one weapon, which is interesting. All the others are protective gear in some way. He only gives us one weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit. And if you've heard the phrase, sometimes the best defense is a good offense, sometimes we need to go on the offense against the devil's schemes with the sword of the Spirit, our only weapon. And it says in, well, let's read that. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Paul tells us what the sword is. The sword of the Spirit is the Word. It's the Bible. And so I think a great question for us and to always keep asking is, are we in it? Are we pursuing the Scriptures? Not just here. You're here. That's something, right? We're pursuing it in a deeper way. But pursue it each day in your devotion. Our daily breads, Ed just gave me the new ones. The old ones are up there too for the month of September. Grab one of those. Make it a part of your day. Read the little scripture they give at the top. That'll get you in the Word just a little bit each day. That's a place to start, right? That's your sword. That's your weapon. The Word of God. You guys know this well from Lent. Remember the third temptation that Christ is given by the devil in the desert is basically, fall down and worship me, I'll give you anything you want. Right? And Jesus says in Matthew 4:10, go away from me, for it is said, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him only. And so, even Jesus uses the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to make the devil go away. Go away. Here's some scripture. Take that, right? And so, but we won't be able to do that if we aren't in it. And so we need to keep pursuing the Word of God on a daily basis to stay in training, as Paul likes to say, to keep that spiritual training. Physical training is good. Some of us go on walks. Cheryl goes on bike rides. Sorry, Cheryl, I couldn't resist. And Paul says, that's good, but make sure you're doing the spiritual training too. So add that to your daily regimen if you haven't. So again, the shield of faith. I think it's about the promises of God, remembering the promises of God, knowing that He's true to those, knowing that He will be faithful to those. You know, when we're going through really hard times and really hard things and bad things happen, it's easy just to grab any port in the storm, right? Remember the promises and hang on. And draw upon the faith and love of brothers and sisters in Christ to help you in that time. That's the shield of faith. And then the belt of truth as well. With that, I found something really cool this week in one of my devotions that I read. There's this lady who came across this scripture from Habakkuk 3, verse 19. And it says, the Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. H-I-N-D-S, apostrophe, hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Now that's a King James, but this lady in the devotion was like, I didn't know what a hind was. I didn't know what the Lord was talking about, make my feet like hinds' feet. And she looked it up, and a hind is a deer. And I wonder if it's not some sort of mountain goat or something like that, too. So a mountain ram, things that can walk. Have you seen those animals that are able just to calmly walk on the side of mountains and it's like this, and they're fine? They're jumping and things. Make my feet like hinds' feet. In other words, whatever mountain you're facing, This was the application she came up with. Whatever mountain you're facing in your life, the Lord's going to equip you with hinds feet to be able to not fall and to stay there. And so I really like that image. And that's what the breastplate of righteousness is doing as well. It's helping us to stand, helping us to stay there, to defend us against those darts. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, be in that Word and know it. Whether it's a moth, whether it's the armor of God, whether it's hinds feet, whatever it is, I think all of these things are leaning on God. Leaning on His everlasting arms is one of our hymns, right? Leaning on God, and also leaning on God's people. Don't forget that. We're in a body of Christ. We're in a church for a reason. And you're certainly welcome to call me anytime with what you're going through. But you can also call trusted brothers and sisters and say, look, I'm really struggling with this right now. Can you give me counsel? Can you pray for me? What should I do? And that's what the Lord intends. That will defeat the devil and his schemes. And then finally, I just want to finish with this. Know that God loves you enough to pursue you. That's really what He's doing with the moth, is He's pursuing you because He wants you back. He wants Him to be back in first place in your life. So He's pursuing you. He loves you enough to do that. He loves you enough to defend you. The Lord didn't just leave and say, well, I hope you do well. I hope this goes okay. No, He sent the Holy Spirit upon being raised from the dead. And we've talked about, what is the Holy Spirit? The advocate, the helper, the comforter, the one who goes before us. And then He gives us the armor of God, all these things we've talked about today. So He doesn't leave us defenseless. And then finally, He loves us enough to make us ready for battle. He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells us it's going to be a battle. Life's going to be a battle. But I want you to know that I am with you and that I have given you the armor to protect you and the sword of Spirit to go on the offense, and brothers and sisters in Christ to get us through until we can gather in heaven, as we mentioned last week. Celebrate that marriage feast of the Lamb with our worries free together at Christ's table.